Thank you once again this evening for tuning in to the broadcast for the midweek service. And we're continuing our series in the Old Testament book of Job. And tonight we're in Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. And here Job is answering one of his friends, the friend called Eliphaz. And we're reading here in Job chapter 6. Verse 1 says, "But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. Poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass? Or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavoury be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort? Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it is hot, they are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. The troops of Tema looked, the companions of Sheba waited for them. They were confounded, because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. For now ye are nothing. Ye see my casting down and are afraid. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance? Or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? Do ye imagine to reprove words, and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content. Look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things?" Amen. And we know again God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We'll bow for a moment in prayer and again ask the Lord would minister to our hearts through his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that thou art the Almighty God, and we thank thee that when we're saved we can say thou art our God. We thank thee, we can say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. We draw near to thee this evening. In the name of the Saviour, we pray now for your help as we consider your word, that you will open the eyes of our understanding, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy word. We pray this evening that thou wilt remember your people connected even with this congregation. We pray this evening for those that need a touch in the body, those in their own homes, and Lord, they need a particular touch from thee, that thou wilt draw near to them. Bless those who care for others. May your hand be upon them. Remember those that have been bereaved in recent times. May they know your comfort, your grace, your speaking voice. Lord of mercy, in these days upon our land, upon our nation, Lord, come and send us times of reviving, times of spiritual awakening. May many be turned to thee. May we know what it is to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, knowing that all these other things shall be added unto us. Come now and speak to us through thy word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first of Job's friends had spoken in chapters 4 and 5, Eliphaz by name. He had spoken some important truths, but he had misinterpreted why Job was suffering, and therefore he had misapplied the truth to Job's situation. And as a consequence, this friend had not really been of any comfort to Job, but instead had added to Job's suffering. And as Job set about answering what his friend had said, he made it clear to his friend that what he had said had not demonstrated any pity or sympathy to Job's case. Look at verse 14 of chapter 6. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. And Job was implying in that he had not been shown pity or sympathy by what Eliphaz has said concerning Job's affliction. Later in chapter 19 and the verse 21, Job would say to his friends collectively, have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Job's friends were not fulfilling what we read about in Proverbs 17 and verse 17, which says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. They were not showing love or concern or compassion really to Job. We know, of course, the Lord Jesus is that friend that does love at all times and is born for adversity. And we can take everything to him in prayer. Now, Job did also point out to his friends that if he, Eliphaz, indeed the others, spoke right words about Job's circumstances, he would take heed. Look at what he said in verse 25. How forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? Now, I really want this evening to overview this chapter 6, which is the first part of Job's answer to his friend. Chapter 7, of course, contains the rest of the answer, the response to what Eliphaz had said. And we're focusing in upon chapter 6 tonight, overviewing the message, what Job said to his friend. And as Job answered his friend, I want to say, first of all, he spoke of the reason for his complaint. The reason for his complaint. In the opening verses of this chapter 6, you will see how Job spoke of the heavy burden he was carrying in his loss and his suffering. And that had led to the outburst he had made in chapter 3 when he had cursed the day of his birth. And he wanted his friends to realize that even at that point he couldn't fully express the weight of the burden he was enduring, which was the reason for his complaints in chapter 3. He said there in verse 2 of chapter 6, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up." And you can see how he desired that his grief would be thoroughly weighed, and his calamity laid in the balances together. And if his burden of grief and calamity could be weighed, he declared it would be found to be heavier than the sand of the sea. What a weight, what a burden Job was carrying. This is why he had spoken words which seemed rash. That's the meaning of his words being swallowed up. The reason for his complaint was this heavy burden of his loss and suffering. It felt like the arrows of the Almighty and the terrors of God were against him. Just as the wild ass and the ox bray and low when they've reason to do so, Job wanted his friends to understand that the words he had spoken were so closely connected to the heavy burden he was bearing. Many of God's people bear heavy burdens through bereavement or illness or other trials. And maybe as you listen this evening, you can put yourself into that situation. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote of the trouble that came to him and his fellow companions in Asia, that he and his fellow companions were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that they despaired even of life. But you know, whatever burdens we bear in life, and they may be heavy, they are nothing in comparison with the burden of our sins which weighed down upon the Lord Jesus as he drew near to the cross to take the punishment we deserve. In John 12 and 27, the Lord Jesus said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." In Matthew 26 and 38, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And in Matthew 27 and 46, when he was hanging on the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What a heavy burden the Lord Jesus was bearing. As Isaiah 53 and 4 prophesied, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Verse 6 of Isaiah 53 says, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Well, the Lord Jesus carried a most heavy burden. As everybody said, like Job, you may carry a heavy burden even tonight as a child of God. But we can take our burdens to the Lord, and we can leave them there. That leads on to a second thought here in Job chapter 6. Not only the reason for Job's complaint, that is the heavy burden he was bearing, but I want you to see the request he made to be cut off. And again we see how much Job was suffering, what a heavy burden he was bearing. Because here in Job 6, the verses 8 and 9, Job said, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off, then should I yet have comfort." Oh, Job was carrying such a heavy burden connection with his loss and his suffering, that he made this request that God would take him away from the sufferings of this life, would cut him off. Now, Job did not speak about taking his own life, but such was his suffering that he requested of God that God would take him away from this life and death. And from verse 10, we can see that he desired comfort. He would, of course, have to wait for God's appointed time for his death, and much would happen and the circumstances would turn around before the appointed time for God to take him away in death. We see from what he said in the verse 11 that he had no desire at this point for his life upon earth to be prolonged. What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life? You know, there were others among God's people in the record of Scripture that made really a similar request to Job. But God did not answer them because it wasn't his time to take them from this life. Their work was not done. Think of Elijah in 1 Kings 19 and 4. Greatly used by God. And yet, at this particular time in 1 Kings 19 and 4, he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father." Think of Jonah in Jonah 4, verse 3. Jonah, who was greatly used by God, and yet he prayed, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And there are times when the child of God, and you might be in this case tonight, feel like this and have desires to be free from this life when it's burdens. But of course, we must pray that God will give us that sufficient grace to press on with him until his appointed time to take us away from this life to be with him in glory. When we think of being cut off, and we think of the Lord Jesus, his life was cut off as a sin bearer to take away the punishment for our sins. He was able to lay down his life and take it up again. In Isaiah 53, in the verse 8, we read of the Lord Jesus, "For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." And so, in Job's response to his friend Eliphaz, we have noted the reason for his complaint, the request he made to be cut off. But I want to finish by considering the reproof he gave to his companion. Because while he's answering Eliphaz, the other friends are there too, and he's really speaking to them all. And he certainly lets his friends know in this chapter 6 that they were not helping him in that which had been spoken by Eliphaz. What had been said, as we pointed out at the start, did not show pity, as Job pointed out in verse 14. In verse 15, he actually spoke of his friends being deceitful. Verse 15, of chapter 6. "My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away." Deceitfully they came with that purpose to mourn with him and comfort him, and yet they had failed to do so. Down in verse 24, Job said, "Teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred." In other words, he was saying to them, "If you can teach me how I have erred and sinned in some way to bring all this suffering upon me, well, teach me." In that sense, he was reproving them. They had not taught him. They had not shed any light on why he was suffering. You see, his reproof of Eliphaz and the other friends really was, "Okay, you're saying I've committed some specific sin or sins to bring all this suffering upon me, but prove it. You've showed no evidence to back up what you've said." Verse 27, Job said, "Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend." He was reproving them. They'd overwhelmed him by what had been said. They were digging a pit for him rather than helping him. comforting him. He was genuinely burdened to know why all his sufferings and loss had come upon him. And at the same time, Job was confident that it was not because of some specific sin in his life. Oh yes, he was but a saved sinner, but he was one who had walked close with the Lord. And so he's really reproving his companions, his friends, after what Eliphaz has said. And of course, there are times in life when even you and I as believers may have reason to reprove some of our companions and friends, even as they maybe have given counsel to us. Even the Lord Jesus, during his ministry, at times had reason to reprove his friends, his disciples, such as Peter, for example. In Matthew chapter 16, in the verse 23, the Lord Jesus had to reprove Peter. We learn in the verse 21 that the Lord Jesus had begun to show unto his disciples how that it was necessary he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He was emphasizing the necessity of his sufferings unto death and his resurrection for the salvation of his people. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And he said, Peter said to the Lord Jesus, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Peter just couldn't fully comprehend why the Lord Jesus would have to suffer. But the Lord Jesus turned and he said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, or a stumbling block, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." Peter wasn't seeing the coming sufferings of the Lord Jesus from the right perspective. And so the Lord Jesus had reason to reprove him. There were other times during the ministry of the Lord Jesus he had to rebuke and reprove the disciples for being of little faith, and even for pride in their hearts. And there are times we may have to reprove our fellow believers. There are times when some of them may have to reprove us. There are times when the Lord has to rebuke us, even through his word, maybe as we read. And so as we have thought just a little about how Job responded to his friend Eliphaz here, there are lessons for us to learn. Oh, we may at times speak words rashly like Job, because of the great burden that we're bearing through some trial. But we can take our burdens to the Lord. As we've just pointed out, we may have to reprove some of our companions. We may at times feel like Job, that we just want to be away from the trials of this world and be with the Lord. But we must understand that our times are in his hands. And we must seek to patiently endure, seek to live for the Lord until our work upon earth is done. And so may the Lord be pleased even to apply his word to our hearts as we have considered this chapter in Job tonight. Thank you for listening.